This week on the Average Joe Movie Show, we talk movie trilogies and Candyman. It can be difficult buying or selling a house, but if you have the right realtor, then everything can be much easier. And that's why my friend Daniel McGrath out of Watson Realty can help you out. And if you go with his service, if you're buying a house, he'll pay for your home warranty for a year. And if you're selling a house, he'll do your inspection. You can find Daniel McGrath on Instagram, Daniel_sells_Florida. You can also see his website at danielmcgrath.watsonrealtycorp.com. And you can also call him because he wants you to with his phone number of 910-581-5797. That is Daniel Realty. Daniel McGrath at Watson Realty. Find him, sell your house, buy your house, do what you need.
Don't forgive me, everybody. I'm tired.
Tired of the bullshit.
Tired of the bullshit.
Dude, I literally just finished Lord of the Rings Extended Edition.
Did you get about like 7?
Dude, I've been watching it for 2 fucking straight weeks.
Yeah, I walked in and the credits were blaring through the door.
It literally, like, our show starts at, like, we start recording at 12 and it's the fucking, you know, Sam gets his kid, walks to the door, door shuts 12:01. Fuck you. Fucking timed that perfectly. It took me exactly 2 weeks to watch those.
Spoiler alert, Sam's not dead at the end of the movie. Neither is his kid.
I ruined the movie.
Yeah, that's it, pretty much.
That's the episode. And thank you guys for stopping by. And that was our trilogy episode.
I would like to take this moment to apologize to listeners for not having me last week.
That's right. You weren't here.
I know you're all heartbroken. Well, Matt sent me a text. We have a group chat that is for the show.
Make this a 30-second bit.
No, eat my whole ass. We have a group chat. No one posted anything in it. Matt texted me while I was in the middle of a show, and he's like, hey, tomorrow.
30 seconds.
Anyway, I didn't realize that he was talking about the show, whatever he texted me. There was nothing in the group chat, and I was like, guess there's no show tomorrow, and then I fucking slept till 1.
we were joking because Matt said something about, like, you thought disc golf was planned for that time or something like that.
Yeah.
And then we're like, but you also didn't show up for disc golf. Like, what the fuck, dude? Like, how do you use that excuse?
Oh,
because you didn't show up for that either.
Because that doesn't matter. Like, Matt's just gonna show up and punch a tree till it falls. Like, that's not the same as if I don't show up for the podcast.
I have an anger problem.
Hey, do you have to give your phone to other people while you're disc golfing? Dude. Like, just hold on to this for the next 2 hours.
Did you kick the post on hole 14 the other day when you were mad? Because I went out the other day and the post is loose, like someone kicked it when they were upset. Okay, so maybe just someone having
fun. Like, I don't know, I blacked out.
Anytime something's destroyed out there, I'm like, Matt, did you ruin hole 15?
For people who don't know what we're talking about, disc golf is hippie golf with frisbees. You throw frisbees into a basket and it's golf rules. So
One day they'll make a movie on it, so it is related to the podcast because there's got to be a disc golf movie in the works.
Right? I've been doing a couple of bits on stage about it, and people are laughing.
Yeah, well, that's good. It's a fun game. Yeah. So, but let's get on with the show here. Zach's back. Zach Bennett, say hello. He already did. Good. We got Andrew Brown Chain.
Yo, yo.
Everybody's here. Let's talk.
Andrew Brown Chain.
Exactly. We all actually saw Candyman. Most of us did.
Yeah.
And
I had to work. So,
as many of the listeners know, that is one of my favorite horror movies. And when they were remaking it, I said that in air quotes. I was pretty stoked because it's been a while, and I think modernized Candyman just sounds pretty good.
Yep.
I didn't watch one trailer of it. I knew that it was going to happen. I was like, yeah, I'm going to see it. So I didn't want to spoil anything. So I don't know. I just got these things that when I watch trailers, I try to visualize when I'm watching the movie. I was like, I haven't seen this yet, so this guy hasn't – something hasn't happened yet. Yep. So I try not to watch trailers anymore, and I was it was good. So
I have a tendency of not watching trailers these days. I like to go into it completely blind unless I'm like so unconvinced on the movie or so like in the dark on what that like I need something to motivate me to actually go see it, you know. But for the most, I like going in blind sometimes.
Yeah, I agree. Like I saw the trailer like I think it was a year and a half ago.
Yeah, when it was coming out in like 6 months.
Yeah. So that's the only trailer I saw, but I didn't even know it was coming out actually. And then he was like, "Hey, you want to see Candyman on Thursday?" And I was like, "Yeah,
of course I fucking do."
I was like, "Oh shit, it's out."
Well, how'd you guys like the movie?
I thought it was good. I thought it was borderline great, but I thought it was good.
Yeah. I think I'm on the same line as you on that one.
Yeah.
What about you, Drew?
Same. I thought it was really good. Definitely kind of had the same pacing as the original film.
Yeah.
I kind of thought they were going to like mix it up a little bit and like aim for just a more modern vibe where they're keeping up with all the other horror stuff on the gore and on the jump scares and all that kind of, you know, I knew it wasn't going to be a cheap movie because, you know, Jordan Peele and like everybody that was involved with the prod, some talented people were involved.
Yeah, he's not corny with how he directs movies.
Really, it maintained like the sort of pacing that the original has, which works for me, but it might be a little slow for some people. It suits Clive Barker's writing, which is the original source material based on a short story from Clive Barker, which paid tribute to him a lot, paid tribute to the original film a lot. I liked all that kind of fan-pleasing stuff. But overall, I really liked it. I'd definitely watch it again.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to probably buy it.
I saw mostly good reviews. The only thing that I saw that was kind of like, I saw somebody kind of picking apart the old one, you know, and then saying like, well, the new one's better than the old ones because, and it was kind of like, they were going from like the angle of like, you know, they made it all about, you know, this one white woman. And it's like, I mean, I could understand where somebody came from with that, but it, like, but if you're watching the old one, like they do plenty of stuff outside of her to where you don't necessarily feel like it's like I remember we watched it we watched it before Spooky last year, I think.
And yeah, I mean I watch it at least once a year.
Yeah, and I don't feel like it was I mean I feel like they were like Clive Barker's storytelling, especially like he's never like it's all about this white lady. Like, it's just not a
guy. No, I didn't get that from the original.
He's a gay guy. Yeah. He came out in the early 90s. Yeah. And, like, he's, like, the furthest from that. Like, he's completely...
He
would never be, like, aiming for racism or anything like that. But that's only the original source material, you know?
Yeah. Right.
The only difference, because, you know, by the time you guys see this, listeners, I'll preface it this. Go see the movie if you want to. Don't see the movie if you don't want to. Try to let us convince you or not convince you to go. It's
cops are going to hate this movie.
Yeah.
Cops are gonna hate this movie.
It's definitely not.
It's not law enforcement.
You know, that's a good point. I was going to say, like, I've had a couple people tell me it's like that, you know, it's too much like oppression type stuff like that, you know, whatever. But it's like, that's what it was originally about. That's the whole idea, you know. I even had a guy at work, like, he was like, yeah, man, it's just, it's against black people or whatever. I was like, no, it's not. It's the opposite of that, man. Yeah. But I didn't think about the fact that, like, with everything that's happened in law enforcement in the recent few years, well, the whole course of law enforcement, basically. Yeah. I didn't think about the fact that maybe there was a little bit of targeting in that respect, you know.
Yeah. So it is definitely a targeted audience for
but
this.
But you're making a cultural statement of the time, much like what was going on with the original one, like capturing.
Well, it's supposed
once,
to be.
Once you, yeah. I know that you're trying to say, but once you see the movie, it's a bit, it's going to,
you'll get it.
You'll get it. Like it's
no, you explained it to me, and I understand that. And what I'm saying is that, like, that for anybody who might think that that's a problematic thing, it's like, well, then you're just choosing to ignore the cultural norm of what's going on right
now.
Yeah,
that's exactly why, like, you know, like, people will not like it because of how they view things.
Right. Because it would be like saying you didn't like that they used contemporary music of the time in a movie. It's like, this is what's happening in the world right now.
Yeah. Well,
like,
also, you know, if you want to spoilers with this, I'm not going to not spoil this movie.
Light spoilers.
They made the difference between this Candyman and the other Candyman, and my viewing, of course, I'm just some white 30-year-old, is that they made Candyman like, and like the anti-hero in this new one,
right,
when he was a very much a villain in the original.
Yeah, more of a villain than not. Yeah,
like he was not a good dude.
He was still fucking creepy in the new one. Don't get me wrong.
No. he was villainous, but you felt of course you know you want to feel sympathy, you know. But they set it up as him being more of an anti-hero than just any, just like a straight up villain killing.
Yeah,
everybody in his path that said his name.
He's like he's based on not just the one character. He's based on a series of injustices. Basically, yeah. It's not just one person in the new film. It's multiple different people that have combined in one, becoming that spirit basically of anti-oppression. You know, like getting his vengeance because of. You know, it just targets oppression more in general,
which is somewhat based on some of the aspects of the original. There was
a lot of subtleties to that,
right?
You know, this one, it's not so subtle.
No, it's not so subtle
at all.
My issue doesn't even lie with like how it was written or anything like that. Like, it's just like I feel like there's just a cut on the like out there that has some stuff.
The bathroom. There has to be. There's stuff in the trailer that wasn't in it.
Yeah, I was like, this has got to be more. There's got to be more to this.
There's
like,
a scene where he's painting, I think, in the trailer, and he starts like losing his shit, and he's like, ah! He starts doing that.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, where was that? Like, certain things from the trailer that looked really creepy and atmospheric, like, it stood out to me that they weren't in it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there was...
The bathroom scene, I was like, I wanted a little bit more in that bathroom scene.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
for modern audiences, it was minimal gore, wasn't it?
Yep.
You know, I mean,
Candyman, you know,
Clive Barker stuff is just like people are being, think about the Hellraiser movies and stuff like, and like people are being fucking filleted. Their eyeballs are being like plucked out. Like
there's a dude walking around like, with muscle, like,
if you guys, especially if you go back to like the Books of Blood and his original early works, Salome and the Forbidden, like what Candyman is based on, I think, and I'm not a gore hound. I'm really not. I enjoy gore, but it's never like a deal. Like, I need gore in this film. That's my number one. Like, I've never been that guy. If you can do a horror film without it, that's perfect. But in this film, I thought it could have been a little more gory. It
literally has a hook for a hand.
Yeah, I wanted to see somebody get that shit in action with that hook.
But the first victims, though, like when she comes around the corner and sees like.
Yeah,
I was like, okay, that's kind of
that was good.
But after that, that was like the worst part, like the most gory part. Besides,
the creepiest. Like, cool. Can we all agree that the creepiest kill was that critic that got fucked up?
Oh,
that was cool the way they did that.
Yeah.
I was just like,
they just
the director,
which is hilarious.
She was she had a vision that was very 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 cool. I really liked the way she directed the movie. It was it was very very good, and the art that she used made him a painter as well. Like we talked about this.
Another tribute to Clive Barker, in my opinion, you know, making that the character, a tortured artist. That's perfect setup.
There's somebody named Clive in the movie. I can't remember who.
Oh,
it was.
Yeah.
It was the art house director or something like that.
This guy's name's Clive.
Yeah. He was when he was at the laundromat, he was reading a paperback copy of Weave World, which is what I'm reading right now. I'm like 400 pages into one of his early horror fantasies. So there's little things here and there. They clearly are, a fan of Clive himself.
Yeah. And
that's a big deal to me because he's like, I've idolized him, you know, for half of my life, his paintings, his writing, movies, everything, you know? Mm-hmm. So I thought that was cool.
He did the name Justice.
I'm
not disappointed by this movie at all.
I don't think we even mentioned yet that it's essentially a sequel. It's not a remake.
Yeah.
I didn't know that going on.
Yeah. I didn't know that either. I mean, I didn't know
it
much.
It talks about Helen Lyle, the original protagonist, the lady from the original film. Like, she's a character within this universe and everything. And they even bring back a character, an actress from the original film. The girl who played Helen Lyle, we were like debating on whether the one lady, like whether that was her in the new film. Allie looked it up and she said it wasn't. It was a different actress.
We were actually thinking of two different people.
Oh, okay.
No, when I was just like,
the lady from the original that had her baby abducted from
that was
Cabrini
same,
like, Green, that was the same lady. I was like skeptical because she hasn't aged a day. Like,
no, she looks great.
She looks like the exact same person. I'm like, how is she not aged?
She looked great, man.
It was cool that they brought her back
30 years later. That's great. Yeah. We all enjoy the movie. If you're a fan of Candyman, you will not be disappointed. If you're not then
all.
Then you won't have a good time. So it's whatever.
Zach, you would like it. You would like it a lot.
Yeah, I really want to see it. It just timing wise didn't work out, but I've always loved Candyman since I was like way too young to see it.
It was one of the first horror movies I ever seen.
Was it 91 came out?
92.
Yeah. So I saw it when I was 7.
Yeah, I stayed up late with my dad on a Friday night watching it. I was like six.
I still get freaked out by the score.
Oh, my God. The score is terrifying, man. The
score is so good.
Just that gothic, ominous, you know, around, you know.
I always just think of the locations, the way they make Cabrini Green, the projects, and I was just really paying attention to that in this one. And I was like, holy shit, that looks exactly like the original Cabrini Green.
Dude, the fucking street, like with those houses, yo, that looks crazy.
Yeah, when he's like walking down the street photographing things and like just the way everything looks, I was like, man, the location scout, like my hat's off to you on this. Wherever this was filmed, it's perfect.
Yeah.
Yep. And the fun part about Cabrini Green is that nothing's gotten better. So, the real life.
Well, actually, version. You'll see. There's a big.
It's a little different.
I just mean, in
real life.
In real life, what it's the area it's based on.
Yeah, there's a big subplot about that.
I would assume so. Yeah.
Oh, but well,
can you hear me petting the dog on the mic? Or just,
no. Yes.
Okay.
I can't.
No, I can't. I'm just kidding. Oh, yeah. You're lying.
She needs attention.
But yeah, it was. You guys want to talk about the trilogy?
Sounds like a euphemism for something.
The trilogy that was Candyman? You guys want to talk about that? You know, have any of you guys seen the sequel, the other sequels to these movies?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about those.
No, I haven't, honestly. No. But I'll be honest, I've never been like the biggest. I was never a diehard fan of Candyman. Like I said, I love Clive Barker. It's not one of like the standout things in film that Clive Barker's attached to for me. Enjoyed it, and I enjoyed the new one probably equally as much, you know, but it's, you know, because of that, I never watched the sequels.
Yeah.
I have every intention of watching them. I remember they were, like, obscure for years, and I couldn't find them.
I have Day of the Dead. I struggled to find them. I have Day of the Dead. Day of the Dead. Long Live the Flesh. Shit.
Don't look at me.
I think Day of the Dead is the third one.
Yeah.
Long Live the New Flesh is... The second one. The second one's really good. The third one is fucking garbage. It is so fucking bad. Like, and that just goes to show you how trilogies work sometimes. And like, when you have your fucking first movie, it's so great, and that you're like, well, I mean, audiences have really latched onto this. Let's make a second one. I'm like, and it kind of hits a little, you know, it's like any other like horror movie, at least in this part. You got to up the gore. You have to up the ante somehow, and the first character has to die somehow. I don't know. I just gave away a little bit of the ending. A little bit of the beginning of the second one. Sorry. But that's how trilogies kind of do things, because then you get to that third one, especially in horror movie trilogies. And you're like, well, that one sucked, and that's how you get 4, 5, 6, and 7.
Yeah.
It's like, well, the third one was really bad, so we're not doing that. So
that's the classic formula, and it's nice. Sometimes there are exceptions. You can break away from that. Occasionally you come across a sequel that's better than the original. You know, there's a few of those out there, and the third one generally is the worst. But there are extreme examples where the third one ends up being the best. Like Return of the King, maybe that arguably the one that won all the Oscars, you know, that doesn't happen too often. But the formula you're talking about, first one's the best. Already established characters, people have latched onto it and they want more. Then you try to outdo yourself, then you sum it up in the third one, and it just kind of is, it goes to, it declines.
Yeah, that's, you know, it'd be one thing that if you're making an actual trilogy rather than just trying to make sequels because you're trying to make money, you know, like,
yeah,
that's why Return of the King was, it was the best one. I actually thought when I was finishing up the Two Towers, I was like, this is definitely the best one. I'm like, there's no way it's the third one's better than this one.
You know, I thought that too, because I haven't watched those movies in a long time, all three of them. But the second one to me was always my favorite.
Helm's Deep.
And then I watched the third one and I was like, okay.
What, yeah, more, I know.
There's more in this.
Everything, like, you just wrap a nice tight bow on things and it's just like, ah, man, this is.
Cinematically, it's everything, dude. It's such a beautiful film.
Yeah, so. We also have another guest here. It's called the Bugs Outside.
Yeah.
So if you're hearing that, you know, just to let you know.
It's Florida.
It's Florida, hot. Baby. Sorry. We're not outside, by the way. They're just loud as fuck, bro.
I can't hear it. You can hear that on the
headphones? I just turned my mic off.
Oh, as soon as you turn his chains on? Okay, yeah, because Shane's mic's facing the window.
Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah. So
the Lord of the Rings, being that it was filmed like all consecutively, filmed at once and then released at intervals, like I think that makes a big difference.
I think that's probably the formula for a good trilogy.
It takes a lot of money. It takes a lot of, a lot of strategy, and then it's harder. It's a tough sell.
Yeah, you have to know that it's going to be good.
Yeah, it's like, how are we going to commit to, such an ambitious project when we don't have the original film to, to base, a level of success on, and what to do, what worked, what didn't, what people were attached, what character people were attached to,
Didn't they do the Matrix 1 and 2 like that?
No. They made the first, they weren't intentionally making it three movies.
Yeah.
That fucking blew up.
Well, I was going to say, I know the third one was separate, but I thought the first two were like...
Nah, the first one was the separate one. Two and three were the ones built together. Oh,
okay. All right.
Cool. You can tell, too. You can feel, because I just watched them this week, and you can feel that when you're watching them.
The vibe is just different.
And that's what I'm talking about.
The color scheme is different, too.
Yeah.
Everything about it.
But if you film a trilogy, like... all at once, like it's one film process, and you release it at intervals. Like it's just nice for people that are just fans of like real continuity. You know, there's not going to be any inconsistencies or anything like that.
Yeah, it's what was one that?
It definitely feels like the only time that really happens is if it's from some work that's already been created. Like it's like, hey, this is coming out as a trilogy, or it was from a series of books, like Lord of the Rings and stuff.
Yeah.
But like when they do stuff with like Star Wars and The Matrix, where it's like, hey, the first one went really well, here's a bunch of money to make two more. That's when it's like that. There's no way. I can't even think of a time where anyone's done that and the vibe felt the same through and through.
Yeah.
It's never the same. And not always in a bad way, but like.
Some movies got stopped because you remember the Divergent series? It never finished.
It didn't? I thought they did all three.
Nope.
No, the first one was...
The first one was all right.
Yeah, the second one was shit.
Yeah, and so...
Was there a third one?
There wasn't a third one. I remember I was just like, well, I guess we'll never see how this ends, huh?
I saw the first one in theaters.
I thought the same thing was going to happen for Maze Runner. I was like, that was going to be three movies.
Yeah, no, and Maze Runner seemed pretty good, though.
Fucking first one was so good.
Yeah, I was like, I actually like this movie. Like, are you going to make more?
Yeah, and then they make the second one, and you're like, this is fucking trash, bro. Like, it's awful.
None of the actors wanted to be there.
But there was ones that they had to commit, like the Hunger Games. Uh-huh. Like, the first one is... by far the best one of the Hunger Games.
I don't really think that one's that great either.
You didn't like the Hunger Games? Oh, I loved it.
Well, the problem is changes in the creative department. Mm-hmm. It's if you can maintain the same creative department throughout three movies, then generally they all tend to be good, But
lack of consistency.
In order to do that, the film industry is so dynamic, and I don't know about you, but like me personally as an artist, I don't want to be contractually obligated to 8 years worth of filmmaking in the same department when there's so much potential to do unique things out, basically they end up contractually obligated, and that's the only way to strive for that, But generally, somebody else will take over, somebody else will direct, whatever, and then the original names will be attached as producers, whatever, and it goes downhill,
Well, perfect example for that is those new Star Wars movies.
Oh, God. Yeah, the new ones had three. Different directors?
No, the new ones had J.J. Abrams direct the first and last one, and then you had Rian Johnson direct the second one, which the guy was...
It feels like J.J. Abrams is hamstrung with the third one, like with the script.
Yeah, well, he approved that script.
I don't want to get on a long-ass Star Wars rant, but like, it's just the way that it falls into place... just does not feel like the vision from the first movie.
Yeah, you could definitely tell, like, wow, there's a big gap between the first one, then you move to the second one, and then you're like, the third one's just like, what is the consistency here? And then it just goes with the creative about it. Yeah. And so George Lucas did, 1 through 6, and those were consistent. They were consistent. They weren't all – I won't go off and say all six of them were great.
Here's why the last three were consistent, because they just remade the first one back is just the first Star Wars movie remade differently.
Oh, you mean like episode 9 or 9? 9?
Yeah. No. 10. 7. 7.
7. Yeah. Jesus. I don't really remember.
They're like, hey, there's this young...
Not a big Star
Wars There's this teenage fan. Person, and they live on a desert planet. And
like, same plot point, yeah. same They same have powers. Setup, same arc.
They're really yeah. strong in survival instincts and stuff.
They find, people who know the ancient ways and blah, 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 blah. But, I mean, I love it, honestly. I don't care. I stopped having stakes and things, so I don't.
It's better I don't than care that, that's better than a direct remake. You know? I'd love to see more of that in the industry. A reimagining based on the original concept that kind of closely parallels it. It's like fucking do that. Just do not do a direct remake.
Here's the thing. From a troll vibe, I can't wait. They're gonna remake.
I fucking love that shit.
They're gonna remake Star Wars at some point, and people are going to fucking lose their mind.
I don't think so, dude. They'll just
keep adding.
I think they'll just make like episode 9, like 10, 11, 12.
No, I'm saying at some point though, the cash cow that the Star Wars, okay, Disney owns Star Wars, it's getting remade. It's gonna be like people in their 40s. They're gonna be like 43-year-olds, and they're gonna be like, "I'll fucking kill you." They're gonna go set Disney World. They're gonna go set Disney World on fire, and then I'm gonna laugh.
I don't really care for Star Wars. Anyway, he's just so out. Lost I for just words. Like
here's Han Solo played by Daniel Radcliffe. Like it's gonna be. Yeah, it's like can you just imagine like the ridiculous casting choices and like you just no matter what the casting choices are wrong. If you remake Star Wars, like even if you find people that are great, it's wrong. Like you can't recast those characters.
Yeah,
you
know?
and they're gonna
and
do
not
it.
In a remake of the original trilogy. Yeah. You know?
Well, what if they remake the Lord of the Rings?
Fuck that.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
Not gonna happen.
Those movies are fucking untouchable.
I think if Disney's got its hooks in it, though, it's getting remade at some point.
They've
a reimagining of the.
They might make a cartoon version of 4, 5, and 6. I don't know. Fuck it. It don't matter. All right, I'm done talking about Star Wars.
There's already a cartoon version of Lord of the Rings from the 70s, so we won't do that.
Which way? Say that again?
There's already the cartoon version of Lord of the Rings from the 70s, which are still like kind of beloved, so that shouldn't happen. So hopefully Lord of the Rings, just forget about that. We're not remaking Lord of the Rings.
Just leave this alone.
Actually,
you know what? Remake shitty ones. What's a shitty trilogy?
I mean, there's no shitty...
There's no shitty trilogy.
Oh, there's
I just mentioned Maze Runner.
It's not a trilogy, though.
There's three movies? And that's why it's a shitty trilogy that needs to be remade.
I wasn't even saying that to be funny. Like, I love the first one and the second one.
No, it's a great point, though. There's shitty trilogies, and they're the ones that you don't know have sequels.
You
don't know you have.
They just buried them.
Yeah.
John Wick's a trilogy, right?
Yeah.
As of right now.
It's about to be a quadrilogy.
Saga.
Yeah, it's becoming a saga. That sounds right.
I think that's right. Quadrilogy. But
that sounds like too much. Saga's just way
easier. So.
Fucking.
Yeah, right. John, what do you guys. I mean,
universe.
With the worst trilogy, which is obviously not known, I guess. What is your favorite trilogy, then?
Mine's Back to the Future. That's why I wore this shirt today.
It's not Lord of the Rings?
No.
Not even close.
Close. Yeah, it is close. Lord of the Rings is the best.
Oh, okay.
Trilogy, in my opinion. That's
but your favorite.
That's just my bad. I mean, it'd be close. The original Star Wars, that would be up there for me. I'm going to call Lord of the Rings the best because of the consistencies we're talking about. Back to the Future does have some inconsistencies. Like Jennifer gets replaced from the first film to the second film, you know? It is a little problematic at times, and people point out kind of, you know, weird plot holes and shit like that. But it's just super beloved to me. And I don't know. It just goes back to way back to my early childhood. And it's just, it's exciting. It fires on all cylinders.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's entertainment at its highest level.
Yeah.
So, did you know that Crispin Glover was replaced? I had no idea that he was replaced in the second movie. You had no idea. I mean, this is what I read.
I always thought that was still Crispin Glover.
They used a mold of his face, and he sued them for it.
No fucking way, dude. Yeah. The voice even sounds just like
him. Yep, they got this guy. It looked just like him, sound just like him, but they put a mold on his face to make him look just like him.
I'm going to forget that you said that. I don't want to know that.
That's insane.
Yeah. That's just fucking changed everything I've ever thought about those movies.
But also, part of the thing was that he refused to do the rest of them.
I don't remember the reasoning by it, but I was blown away when I heard about that.
He's an odd guy, dude.
He was being a fucking weirdo, and they're like, look, man, we're trying to make some regular
shit. He was a
weirdo,
yeah. Like other actors, actresses on set, they'll tell you how much of a weirdo he was. What's her name? Lady played Lorraine. Can't think of her name right this second.
I just blew his mind, so his mind's a bit off.
Yeah, they went on like kind of a, I guess it was like kind of a, almost like a date. He invited her over to his apartment. This was from her mouth. I went to MegaCon and the whole cast of Back to the Future was there. That she went over there and they were going to like read the script together or something like that. And she's like, immediately upon walking in, the place is like a dungeon and all the walls are painted black. It's like the kind of thing that you're terrified to walk into, like, and they just talked about just how odd of a personality type he is.
Yeah, you know? Like even the podcast or whatever radio show he was on, he had this big fucking beard, and he looked like a fucking hobo. I was like,
it was on like Rogan or Maron. I forget.
Well, it wasn't Rogan. It was definitely something.
I think it was Mark Maron.
I was just like, fucking weirdo.
Just to clarify, I love that he's a weirdo. I'm just saying that
makes sense
when they were like trying to make these like kind of pretty straightforward films. And this guy's like,
I'm insane.
They loved it when it worked for them. They're like, hey, do a funny dance. He's like, you got it.
Yeah. Like if you have any doubt that he's not insane, just watch that dance from the Friday the 13th. Which one is it? Four?
Yeah.
I don't know which one it was. Which he made himself. No one, he came up with that on his own.
That's the craziest dance I've ever seen, dude. Ed
Harris and Creepshow, Crispin Glover.
No, dude, there's one more. Cue the Winged Serpent. Did you ever watch that? The Larry Cohen movie?
Joe Bob Briggs was doing it, I was trying to watch it. I couldn't finish it. And I was like,
dude, just watch the dance scene in the living room. Oh my God. That's top three of all time. But I think Crispin Glover's got number one, not in a good way. You know, you can like bust out some weird goofy shit on the dance floor and people are like, that guy's got some interesting moves. No, it's like, this guy looks like he's having a seizure. He's freaking the fuck out right now, you know? He's scaring that lady, you know?
Lady, you're scaring us. Back to the actual movie. I didn't know any of that. And I'm just like, well, it really changed the way I looked at the movie. And it's like you said, you know, I'm like, wow. But it is definitely, you know, because I have arguments with so many people. Just one particular. His name is Tom Souza. Fuck that guy.
It's your Matrix Star Wars fight.
I can't get in an argument with him without saying the Matrix sucks. I'm just like, bro, it doesn't. It doesn't suck. But also, I like trying to bring you down to my level here because
he's trolling you, dude.
Yeah, he's like a massive Star Wars fan, right?
Oh yeah, and
they have like three trilogies of movies that are kind of average.
Well, there's no doubt that Star Wars is better than The Matrix. I'm sorry, like there's no arguing that. If somebody wants to come at me with that argument, I'm just gonna walk away. You know, but The Matrix doesn't suck.
No, it doesn't. Not at all.
You know who I really upset is our buddy Marty. I like to, you know, push his buttons every now and then. And we were arguing about the prequels versus the original trilogy of Star Wars. And I said that, I was like, the first one is like it's like Muppets in space.
Oh my God.
And then I said that the prequels are just as goofy as the originals. And this is just your nostalgia getting in the way. Oh man, he got so bad.
Well, the sequel trilogy definitely made the prequel trilogy way better. You know, I was just like, you guys thought it was bad then. Look at it now. Like, it's way worse. It was way worse. You know, fuck. Yeah. I love J.J. Abrams, but he should have made all three movies. So that's all there is to it. I mean, but then again, J.J. Abrams also was a part of another trilogy, Star Trek Rebate. Or rebates. Remakes.
Yeah, you get $20 back.
Like, oh,
was
God.
There three, was there three of those?
Out
of
yeah, there's Star yeah. Trek, Star Trek Into Darkness, and Star Trek Beyond. So, have any of y'all seen Star Trek Beyond? When?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Have you seen?
I don't know if I saw Beyond. I know I saw the first
one. Yeah, I think I only saw the first two. Yeah.
Oh, God. They're good. The third one, Idris Elba's the villain in this one. Yeah. Oh, it's
which
so
one
good.
Is it that becomes like super like revolving around Spock and going on being like on that icy planet and like
it's Into the Darkness, isn't it?
No.
Yeah, like the old Spock is a part of it and young Spock.
Yeah, that's
I
the,
don't
second,
know.
That's the still, second one.
Yeah, okay. So I know
pretty sure.
I think that was the last one I saw.
Yeah. That was with Benedict Cumberbatch when he played Khan. Oh,
dude, so, he was awesome.
He's did great in every movie.
He was fucking awesome in that role.
He's just like when he's talking to Kirk and Spock and he's talking about his, you know, his crew and he's just crying. They're just like, damn, son.
All
I feel
three
this.
Of them are worth watching.
Yeah.
All good.
Yeah. And those, as of recent, you know, I'd say that. Star Trek, those three movies, and Planet of the Apes trilogy. That you know what? I'm gonna go bold and say the Planet of the Apes trilogy is the best one.
My favorite part is they ride horses.
What?
The apes ride the horses.
Yeah, that's pretty hilarious sick. To me.
That was my favorite fucking part of that movie.
I was like, he's on a fucking horse. He's an ape.
If you didn't appreciate the new Planet of the Apes, go watch. Because Matt had the whole collection of the old Planet of the Apes, and there's five of them. And, of course, the first one is an incredible feat of filmmaking.
I've only seen that one.
The second one.
Which
is,
one?
The first five Planet of the Apes movies.
Oh, I remember because I made him fucking watch the remake. Well, I didn't make him watch it. I bought them, and I was like, hey, man, yeah. You're going to watch these now.
So I watched the remakes, and then I took the five combo pack of the old ones. Mm-hmm. And so, yep. But yeah, the second one is, I mean, just goofy as shit.
You're just asking for trouble. You're asking for goofiness. A bunch of people dressed up in ape costumes coming out in the 70s. Like, you know, it's that is such a B sci-fi concept, like, for, you know, how we made movies at
they
that
tried
time.
To make
I just know without even approaching it at all, I know they're going to just get goofier and goofier. Yeah. That's why I've never watched them.
They tried to make an action action-ish movie in the desert, and then the third one.
Then they go back in time,
dude. The third one is the one where they're like in the present day, and then they're like transported. The apes from then are transported to now, which was like 1978 or something. And it is, I mean, wow.
he muscled through all five of those. Like at night too.
Yeah. The fourth one was actually kind of cool where it, like they actually like had something to say. And then the fifth one was just like, hey, here's a hodgepodge of all four movies and it's just fucking nonsense. And
that's
then,
a bummer, man. Like instinctively I've always just known not to watch them. Yeah. But I'm going to at some point in time. I love the original. I love it so much I would call it like easily in my like top 20, maybe top. I wouldn't say top 10, but one of my favorites of all time. For
yeah,
sure. It's so great. I love Charlton Heston. There's so many iconic moments in it. I group it in with like 2001: A Space Odyssey. It came out, you know, similar time period, and it just has the right look to it.
Yeah.
All around, it's such a great film.
Yeah. The original one is definitely will forever be a classic, and it can be a. It can have so many different statements to things they weren't even going for. So.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then with, God, I actually watched the remake trilogy before I even seen the original. I was like, I knew what Planet of the Apes was about. I mean, just knew it. I don't know.
What's great about going back, because obviously the new three are like really well-made.
Oh, God, they're
awesome
so
movies.
Good.
But
they could have really fucked it up, though.
Yeah.
You know? But Andy Serkis made that film. Again, well, he didn't make them, but, you know.
The message of the first one, though, is it makes up for the other four after. But, like, the message of the first one is just, it was something that just wasn't being talked about at the time.
Yeah.
So that's, and then the new one kind of took that, not exactly the same message, but they took the idea of, like, keeping some sort of cohesive message, and they had it run through all three, but they also made it action. They made, I mean, it's
Dawn
it's
of Planet of the Apes.
How to do it?
Fucking beat that one. Yeah, I mean, but also War of Planet of the Apes. It was all good. It was all good.
Like, oh, hey, speaking of Dawn, Night of the Dead, Night of the Living Dead, Dawn of the Dead, all those.
Those are great.
That's a great trilogy.
But it was like
Land of the Dead. There's more than
Right, but the original that was an original trilogy that they actually had worked out.
Yeah, I agree, because you know, it was so many years between when he made Day of the Dead in 85 or whatever it was, and Land of the Dead that came out in like around 2000,
2001 or something.
So like,
way to fuck this up, George Romero.
We mentioned that earlier that you know, it's still worth considering that something's a trilogy if there was that big of a gap from the third to the fourth film. You know, it was a beloved trilogy, and then there was a revival that happened 10, 20 years later. Right. You know, it's still worth recognizing. You can't be like, well, not a trilogy anymore. It's like, no, that was a trilogy my whole life until the 2000s.
Because the original one's like 68, 78, and then 85, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, let's move on a little bit here. With movie trilogies, how would you get... Oh, sorry, BB. That's the name of my dog, by the way. With movie trilogies and now this emergence of universes, like, what would you prefer? What would you prefer in this universe? Because the Marvel Cinematic Universe always brings up trilogy of movies, because it was made up of three Captain America movies, it was made up of three Thor movies, and it was also made up of three Iron Man movies. As well, I mean, they're also making Guardians of the Galaxy 3. Marvel's is about to be the second one. Is there any other movies that are about to have their third movie besides Guardians?
Did you say Iron Man already?
Yeah.
Well, I guess Thor is making its fourth movie, so I'm not entirely sure.
Well, before we get into the universes you like, I'll give you some. This will help you guys get some time to think about it. I think it would be hilarious to do an Adam Sandler universe where all his characters
there is
have
a universe.
To, hold on, where
they Happy all, Madison Productions.
Yeah, yeah, but you do it a multiverse and you make them all have to interact. That would be a lot of fun.
Oh my god, that'd be stupid. Get the fuck out of here.
It would be the same character.
Who be Halloween?
Yeah, clearly, I'm kidding about that. This is not a joke though. The Weasel.
Oh, I saw this yesterday.
Dude.
The Weasel from Suicide Squad?
No, dude. The Weasel himself, what's his name?
Pauly Shore.
Pauly Shore has pitched the idea of his film, the Pauly universe. That sounds like people that date different people at the same time. The Weasel verse, he's calling it, and he's pitching the idea of connecting all those movies.
Oh,
and
my fucking god, that sounds awful.
And everybody's like, how do you even know is the answer, right? Knows the answer.
Yeah, please.
Here's the thing, it would make some money because
I hope it wouldn't.
I mean, his stand up is pretty subpar, and he tours the country doing stand up.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, well,
so I mean, well, that's great. And everybody, it's him.
Thank you for ruining everything, because that was
dude, the Weasel verse.
I don't want to. The more you say it, the more I don't want to hear about it anymore.
But that's what's funny is I thought about the Sandler thing as a joke, and then the Weasel verse is real, or it's being pitched as real. So
yes, yeah. What would you think? Like, you know, we'll go back to you. Since you deflected the question,
what would you talk about though? Universes, and he's pitching the idea of having a universe where son-in-law and in the army now exist in the same place.
I know. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the question I'm asking you. What would you prefer? Would you prefer a trilogy with a nice wrapped bow around it, or would you prefer a universe that just keeps going?
Yeah, for me, I'm too. I like shticky things too much. You know, like my favorite. Some of my favorite music is cover stuff because I like the shtick. Mm-hmm. So for me, a universe thing is just, it's extra shticky, you know?
Okay. A universe has that risk of just tampering with fidelity of the actual source material itself. Like you have the source material, you have the shit.
Right.
And then you're like, yeah, this was great, but let's, you know, people still love this stuff, so yep. let's make a lot more money and make some more.
My question is why? Like, a lot of movies don't need to be
money. Maybe.
Yeah, money.
I get it, but that doesn't benefit the consumer.
Is there? I mean, this is just an idea in its infancy, you know, with the whole like universe thing. But you know, maybe just three movies could just do it. You
Dark Knight. I don't need a fourth Dark Knight.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. I thought it ended nice, tight knit bow around it. Yeah, so, Godfather.
I like that we have both. Concepts. Definitely, it's nice to have both options. I think that with a universe, you could more easily run it into the ground.
Yeah.
There are trilogies I can think of, like The Dark Knight, where it's like, thank God they didn't make a fourth one, because you know it would have hurt the integrity of the originals, yeah. you know? And I like, yeah, it's revolutionized cinema, and I think it's great that it exists, but it doesn't mean that that has to be the new only formula for, like, that everything is always set up with a seed of creating a universe out of it. I don't think that needs to be the case.
The Bond verse.
I feel like that's an outlier.
Well, and those are just sequels anyway. It's not even. It doesn't have the universe feel to it. It's more like a. Even though it's a different actor each time, like you don't feel like you're in some different element of the story. It's always just the story told with a different guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think that. For me, I think that like that having a universe is nothing will ever make me as happy as the idea of like crossover episodes, like when they did Family Guy and was it Family Guy and Simpsons?
Yeah, Blue Harvest.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Star Wars.
I will never. That's why I say the thing about the shticky thing. Like anything crossover like that makes me so
me
happy.
Me too. For the nerds, it's for the nerds.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, when Freddy vs. Jason came out in theaters.
Yes.
I love that.
It was one of the biggest things that's ever happened to me in my life to date. Like, I'm talking personal, like not just in cinema, just in my life to date. That was it. That was the most epic event that had ever happened to me, you know, just because I'm a fucking horror nerd.
Alien
vs.
Predator for me.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Something that always was talked about, and when Freddy came out in 1985, I was like, well, what's up these guys fight, man?
Yeah.
You know, so finally got our wish.
And even though it'll always be a letdown when they do those things, it's never as good as you want it to be, because in your head you're like,
I would do this, yeah.
It'll never be as cool as you want it to be, but just the fact that it exists makes you happy.
It's because it's cheap. And the concept is cheap. So when you do it, it doesn't matter how well you do it. It still has a little bit of a cheapness, like a fan-made sort of weird cheapness. It was a fantastic vision to begin with. And even if you pour a bunch of money into it, it still feels cheap. Like, it doesn't feel like it was meant to happen.
When someone would leave WWF and go to WCW or vice versa, like back in the day, when I was a kid watching wrestling, I remember that would be like the big, you would be like, holy fuck,
for sure
shit.
I remember that too.
It has that same feel where it's like these are two things, they're, it's literally like multiverse feeling type shit. You're like, these two things should not exist in the same reality, and here they are.
So there's that, which wasn't planned initially when the original two concepts came out, and then there's a strategically planned
universe. We want to start a universe.
That's a totally different thing, you know. It's I'm totally in support of cinematic universes for sure. I think to answer your question, the nerd in me likes the cinema universe. It can be overwhelming. I'm so out of touch with the Marvel universe. I'm fucked. Like, I can never watch them all. Like, there's no way I can catch up at this. There's so many new ones about to come out. So it's, like, overwhelming.
I did it in 2 weeks.
Sometimes I just,
And I had already seen
it. Took Matt 2 weeks to watch the Lord of the Rings movie.
I would like to mention that I have a job. I do have work.
And there's a couple Marvel movies in there that aren't worth the damn. So.
Yeah. I don't know. It can be overwhelming. Probably to a lot of people, even more so than me, because I am just like the kind of guy, I'll fucking lock myself up in my house and just watch movies. Uh-huh. Some people are just like, I can't watch all that. I don't know, just don't have the time, you know? So it just doesn't apply to certain audiences, you know? But I think I prefer just the formula, the old school trilogy, wrap it up in a bow, you know?
Hey, was Kevin Smith the first real universe creator? I'm trying to think about
That was just me putting it in a fucking.
I mean, as far as we
Universal Monsters are credited with having the first universe. because they started to combine them in
Costello
movies and the Frankenstein meets the Wolfman and stuff like that. They started to, it was very loosely done. Yeah. But technically, like, I had that thought, and then I was like, I'm going to look up what the original universe is, and write it, first thing you see on Google, Universal Monsters, first cinematic universe. You know, I was like, oh, go figure.
Well, fuck me.
Now, it was
more... And now they're doing it again, but they're going to do it right. A planned universe,
right.
You know, with the resurgence of the monsters, you know.
Well, they did try with the mummy, and that didn't work. So that's fucking...
Yeah.
Leave it to Tom Cruise there, bud.
Well, as long as The Rock doesn't play a scorpion again.
That's another trilogy.
Yep.
The Mummy trilogy.
Ooh, that's a bad one. I was trying to think of a bad one because going into this, I only thought of good trilogies. And I was like, fuck, I got nothing. What's a bad trilogy? There you go. In my opinion,
any of them.
Those movies did not do it for me, dude. I'll never watch those movies again. I don't enjoy them.
Oh, wow.
I really don't.
It's amazing how people don't learn lessons. Like Fast and the Furious, the third one, they're like, take the stars out of it. They pulled a Halloween. They were like, there's no Mike Myers. There's no Vin Diesel. Like,
right. Speaking of Mike Myers in trilogies, Austin Powers, baby.
No. The other Mike Myers. The cool Mike Myers.
And they're doing another Halloween.
Oh, God. I'm so sick of
that firefighter scene looks pretty cool.
That's probably all that movie's going to be.
Yeah, that's probably right at the beginning.
I like Mike Myers, but fucking
don't hurt yourself.
This is what happens with
overrated as fuck.
Yeah, it's the same thing with Edward Scissorhands for me and Nightmare Before Christmas. It gets to the general, like, it doesn't become a cult classic anymore. It's just popular, and it's just.
Go fuck yourself. I love those movies so much, dude. You're wrong about those. You're right about Halloween, but you're wrong about the two Tim Burton films you mentioned.
When October 1st comes around, how many people change their cover photo to Nightmare Before Christmas or fucking Edward Scissorhands or fucking, you know.
Dude, that movie's so revolutionary, though. Henry Selick, like, it's just everything he does is gold, man. But anyway,
I know I'm not saying that, but it has ruined it. I'm not to say I know it's selfish. It's a selfish thing to say, but I want those movies for myself. It's like when it's like when I don't know. Terrifier is always going to be a cult classic, you know. But it's like when that movie was put on Netflix, I was pissed. I was
like, it's becoming huge in the horror community now too. Like pin collectors, dude. Pin collectors go insane over Terrifier pins. There are people that own every single Terrifier pin that's been released so far.
Hey, the other one is... we should get one brewing, huh?
Yeah, yeah, and they're all going to be at Spooky Empire, the whole cast, too.
Oh, yeah,
I'd kind of actually be scared to do one because I'd be like, hey, guys, I got this bootleg pin. You want one? Yeah.
That'd be your face.
Hey, copyright question.
I know that you're the creator, that everybody involved in the project is right here, right now, and I never discussed this with you, but are you guys interested in one?
Okay, we do.
I got it.
She's the one where the girl splits in half.
Oh, it's already done.
We do it, but we change the color scheme a little bit, but the same images, and then we call it the Spookifier for Spooky.
Oh my fucking God, that sounds amazing.
The other one is Trick or Treat. Man, people fucking love that movie. It's just like, you know, it felt like a good obscure cult classic to me, and I did not realize that it was just going to fucking erupt. Everything Spirit Halloween is all Trick or Treat stuff nowadays.
Dude.
People suck that movie's dick, and it's like, if I see one more Sam pin in the pin industry, I'm going to fucking kill myself. I'm not going to lie. I'm actually working on one right now.
Because money.
Dude.
I'm not selling out. Come all right. On. It was recently brought to my attention that I have to make something that is relatively popular in October if I want to make any money for longevity to make up more obscure things, you know.
It's not like you're making live, laugh, love pins. Like you're doing the right thing. It's still in the lane that you do.
That's live, laugh, love.
I get where you're coming from.
The horror live, laugh. What are you saying?
It's in pop culture, once people get their claws in it, it's like, fuck that.
I turn my back on it.
Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Who's more annoying as a person? And I mean in the most stereotypical version of these people. Someone who has like the Nightmare Before Christmas like hoodie on 24/7 all year round.
and know
like,
nothing
and,
else.
And they're like, this is part of like who I am. And then, or is it like you talked about how you get annoyed when sometimes when people like the minute like October comes around and these people, everybody kind of just acts like, hey, we all love horror. Like,
that, right. Yeah. That's the most annoying.
Okay.
Yeah.
People claim that they love horror movies.
The bandwagon jumpers, the people that are like.
They only love horror movies in October.
Yeah. It's like, you can watch a horror movie in June, you know? It's like, I watch more horror. I think we both probably watch more horror movies in October. That's normal. Yeah, but if literally throughout your life until the day you die, you only commit to watching horror movies in October and that's it. It's like, what are you doing? It's just another genre of movie. You don't only have to watch it in that month.
Can I make an argument for why it's better the other way?
Okay. Talk to us.
Because you need those people to help so that when you see something come on Netflix and you kind of go like, ah, fuck. Like now everybody just gets to, this is just everybody's thing now. It's like, this is my thing. So keeping those people relegated to like late September, beginning of November, keeping them relegated to that, they help get the content created by being a part of that industry then.
Yeah.
And then they all go the fuck away. And then people like us get to go like, oh, we just love this shit. And then, you know, we get stuff like Spooky Empire and we get stuff like, and so we basically just like take their money and their charisma that is very short lived. And then the rest of the year, it's like, you know.
No, you're right. If it was only diehards, the person that wore the hoodie all year long or whatever, would Spooky Empire exist?
Right.
No, there's not enough of those people.
Exactly.
You know, so events like that and pop culture wouldn't exist without both types of people.
Some of those people are fucking insufferable too, which is just, but that's how any group of people is. There's always, but man, there's sometimes when you meet somebody and you're like, hey man, fucking relax.
Gatekeepers and stuff.
Like, I feel like I pose that vibe sometimes.
No, not at all. I'd say that's one reason why the four of us get along so well is because we all love these different things. And
you're
we're like,
BB?
Well, we're like,
BB's a fucking dog. You know, fuck you.
She loves shitting and whining. No, but there's just people that you meet who like none of us are like that. We'll wear shirts and stuff that we like, and we'll talk about things we like. But we don't like show up somewhere and then like kind of impose that stuff onto other people. You know what I mean? Like if we all go to South Turn, Drew doesn't like walk around going like, you guys like Hellraiser? People would be like, shut the fuck up.
What's your favorite Cenobite? Name one. 5, 4, 3. Too late. Exactly. You don't know the Cenobites. Fuck exactly. You.
Yeah. Drew, I got to talk to you about Godfather, man.
Yeah.
Well, that's right. I'm sorry.
You know, this is the first time I've seen the third one.
Did you watch the Coda one?
No.
You didn't watch, you watched the original?
The original. I want to start with that. I'm going to work into Coda after this. I was supposed to watch it with my dad.
What's the Coda one? What is that?
So basically they went back and they redid the third one to make it more cohesive in the story, like make a little bit more sense. I think they also cut a couple scenes of his daughter out and stuff like that. So, but it's still not very good.
Didn't the third one win a bunch of awards?
I don't know, but I will say the third at the end of the movie has like probably one of the most intense like endings of all of them.
Oh my God, man.
It's so tense.
Gut wrenching. Some of the best acting I've ever seen from Al Pacino. Right? Oh my God, man. But I went into that fully expecting to absolutely love it. Like people shit on it. And I wasn't willing to believe that, dude. Like, those movies have a reputation. We got common actors. We got Francis Ford Coppola. I know a lot of time had gone by, but I was like, I'm going to fucking love this movie. And I didn't.
Yeah.
It lived up to the hype that it was nothing compared to the first two.
It doesn't make sense. Like, you know how the first one is, it's about the family.
Yeah.
The third one felt like it was more about Michael.
This like, I was movie's like, been up for a while.
And then his daughter.
It's about the business side of it.
Yeah,
and it was a lot less personal. It was about becoming legitimate. It became political.
Yeah.
It became involved with the church.
Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah, I don't know. Like it didn't do it for me. I've always said throughout this podcast that like the number one thing that attracts me to a movie is character development.
Yeah.
And character interrelations and stuff. More than anything, is good character development. You know, like, I always use Interstellar versus Dunkirk, or something like, you know, for, as a modern example, it's like, those are very different. Like, I got to really give a shit about these characters. And that's why the first Godfather's always been my favorite, even over the second one, because it does that the best. It's all about the family.
I get it.
The second one becomes all about the backstory, mostly about the backstory.
Yeah.
The first one is just, it's so well-rounded. It's the best one, in my opinion. And almost everybody argues that.
Yeah, it seems it. No,
just like Fast and Furious.
Shut the fuck up.
First one's the best. Well rounded. It's all about the family.
I can't wait for the next episode for you not to be here. Yeah, I'm going to tell you it's 7 o'clock.
You don't have a just flawless
me with a fucking noose.
You don't have a flawless achievement in cinema as a sequel to compare it to.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing. You know, going back to the argument of cinematic universe versus trilogy, you can have these story arcs. You're going to have to end these story arcs eventually, like with I'm trying to think of it. Just the one I watched, I'm saying it's Lord of the Rings. So it was the perfect story arcs that prolonged throughout the entire movie. It didn't just, like, when you have a story, you don't just spike and then fall down a cliff. You know, it was gradual, and then, you know, whatever, and happens.
It could have been different. They could have made those movies shorter and it would have had a totally different vibe. Not like that movie's an epic. It's like the Odyssey. It's not meant to feel short. It's meant to feel like the series of novels that Tolkien originally, he put too much work into creating the Elvish language and the maps of Middle Earth. And it's too extensive. There's so much more than just the Lord of the Rings books and the Hobbits themselves. There's so many other books of the Silmarillion and other books with lore that it had to be a long movie. It had to have that feel, and you wanted that.
Yeah.
I strongly feel that that is the best trilogy of all time.
Yeah.
Like, it's not my favorite trilogy, but it is.
The best.
It is the best, like, all the way through.
Cohesive and well-made.
I was actually ready to really consider the fact that The Godfather was the best. Going into this last week when I finally saw the third one, no, you can't take a nosedive. It's such a different movie. Mm-hmm. It feels like
it changes the whole thing.
It doesn't even feel like the same people. It doesn't even feel like a Francis Ford Coppola movie. It's so different to me, you know.
Yeah, but there's good parts and there's bad parts.
There had to have been studio involvement.
I still like the movie. So, don't get me wrong. Yeah. I'll probably watch Coda, and then I don't know if I see myself watching the third one.
It's just that end is tense, man. The whole movie is kind of drab, but like the end, like when they're in the opera.
Yeah, that whole scene,
sweating,
fucking flawless, dude. It felt like watching an old Hitchcock movie. Yep. It felt like watching like the Man Who Knew Too Much or North by Northwest. It felt so old cinema and so well constructed for a movie that came out in 1990. Mm-hmm. It was just, oh my god, it was beautiful, dude.
Let's talk about trilogies that weren't really supposed to be trilogies, but also has the greatest movie of all time in it.
You talking about Three Ninjas?
Shut the fuck up, Zach.
Because there's Three Ninjas Kick Back, Three Ninjas Knuckle Up. Bro, come on. Early 90s, kids fighting other fighting adults.
There's only three original Karate Kids, right?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. There's one. The second one is with the girl. No, the second one was with Daniel.
I would like to say what I want to say. I would really like to say what I want. And you're all ruining it.
I derailed him so hard. He's like, I got an idea. I was like, Three Ninjas? He's like, fuck you.
Before you say that.
All right, go ahead.
Nah, it's a movie called I Just Ate a Guac Sandwich. Just kidding.
I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Did you say a Glock sandwich?
Yeah, it's got me blowing my head off with a Glock.
I've never heard of that.
You should try it. Next year, Beretta Sub. You know? Fuck it. The No Name. Beretta Sub. The No Name trilogy that supposedly just named itself, you know?
What?
Shut the fuck up, Zach.
I don't know. I'm...
You know, the No Name trilogy?
Clint Eastwood, The Man with No Name.
Oh, okay.
Leads up to...
fucking bitch.
I mean, with no name. Like, I mean, everybody's supposed to know your fucking westerns.
Okay.
But that is a trilogy that ended with the best movie.
That's what I was thinking of earlier when I mentioned that, like how very rarely you get that. And for sure, I mean, that's not even worthy of debate.
Yeah.
Anybody ever tells me The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly is not the best out Fistful of Dollars for a Few Dollars More, you're wrong. hero. No. You know, that is a good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's subjective things, and then there's objective, and that's pretty objective.
But then again, okay, we're going back to Star Wars. We're going back to The Lord of the Rings. Like the third one is normally supposed to be the best one because it all comes together. It all comes knit in a tight bow. You know, like a lot of people say Return of the Jedi was the best of that trilogy. A lot of people say Return of the King is the best of that trilogy. There are people out there that say Dark Knight Rises is the best one out of that trilogy.
No, most people say Empire Strikes Back is the best. And even the trilogy meter thing has that.
Okay.
But I'm just saying. Most people do say that.
But shouldn't it
be? Theoretically, it should be the culmination of all of it.
Yeah, it should. It should end in this epic, finale. Yeah. You know, it's like watching fireworks. You know, you're like, oh.
If you do it right, that should be the setup. Yeah. You know, if you're doing everything right, mm-hmm. the third movie is the culmination of everything where everything, all the buildup is you're receiving everything that you've wanted to see, that you've been striving for, you know. It should be nothing but satisfaction. Even the bad shit, even like people dying and the fucked up shit, you know. If you do it right, the third movie should be the best more frequently in a trilogy. I don't know why they always got to take a nosedive.
First one should be a nice date. You had a good time. Second one, you meet up, you do some mouth stuff, okay? And then the third one, the third one, you knock it out and you come. That's how it should go.
Yeah.
I guess. And then you never call them again.
but then you get married, you have some kids, you get a divorce, and then you come back 20 years later and you make the prequels.
That's a good one.
Which is raising someone else's children.
I won't tell you shut the fuck up on that one.
Oh, thank you.
But when I was watching The Lord of the Rings, and I promise you this, I will not watch it for at least another 2 years. I fucking promise you I will not watch this because I am fucking exhausted.
Which people need to realize
that for you. It is exhausting.
People need to realize that for you, that's like a big thing to say, though. Because like Matt will watch anything
two, three times over.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to go see the new Candyman again tonight, most likely. So,
but you can't watch the greatest trilogy of all time again in the next year.
It is literally emotionally exhausting. I don't know how people. I was talking to one of the nurses that I work with, or she works at one. She's a nurse, whatever. But she's a diehard Lord of the Rings fan. She's like, I guess I'll just watch Lord of the Rings since I haven't watched it this week. I'm just like, what?
I told you, dude, I used to skip school and hang a blanket over the window and black everything out and just fucking hoard myself in a room with all the snacks and everything I needed to not leave the room and just watch all three extended editions.
And Back to the Future,
I'll be honest, sometimes I couldn't make it through all three of them. I'd have to, like, take a nap. Like the discs, the original discs, like, it would stop midway through the movie in Two Towers or whatever, say, please insert disc two. I'd be like, all right. Yeah. 30-minute nap, like whatever, and then I'd wake up and I'd keep doing it, man. Like, I've done that like 4 or 5 times.
All
in one day. And I've watched it a lot aside from that, too.
You know? I've watched the Matrix trilogy probably. So, 18 times.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. I could have watched the whole trilogy in the time that it took you to finish that sentence.
Yeah, it's all about comedic timing, everybody. Yeah, Zach would know.
Shane, don't cut that down. Leave it.
Timing is everything. And Matt fucked up.
Oh, man. Yeah.
What did you think about The Matrix, by the way?
Okay.
I know that you say it's not better than Star Wars or whatever, but when I was talking to you yesterday, you just got past, it was right before The Merovingian. What happened when you started watching it, watching the rest of it? Did it get any better for you?
Definitely. Going into Reloaded, I was really discouraged about it, man. There were a couple I actually thought about turning it off. I was like, I'd be fine. You know, I'm supposed to be watching trilogies, but I'm kind of disappointed with what I've seen so far. It'll be comedic. It'll be funny. I couldn't fucking finish the Matrix trilogy, but I'm not that type. So I pushed through it, and it gets better.
Yeah.
You know, and I actually really like the third movie. I was looking at the chart. It's like the first one is 100% and then it just goes down and the third movie is the worst of the three. And I don't know. I think the third one's on par with the second one.
That's what I love.
I might even like the third one more than the second one. I don't know.
It's, Reloaded is full of so much dog
it's
shit.
It's so fucking goofy, dude.
They're like, here's a dance sequence, and they fuck. And you're like, why is this happening?
That dance sequence almost ruined it for me. I was so close to turning it off. Yeah. I told Allie, I was like, I'm not going to watch this anymore.
Yeah, you're like this 2002 like rave vibe. You're like, what the fuck are you doing?
I was scared for what was going to happen in the rest of the movie. And I pushed through it. And it's a fucking... It's a nerd movie, you know. It's really interesting lore, and I'm a nerd, and I just enjoy, even when certain aspects of the movie went downhill. Some of the CGI got, you know, not the best. It got goofy. Certain characters didn't really make sense. You know, I pushed through it because I liked the lore. It's a fun concept.
Yeah, the Oracle died in between 2 and 3, by the way. Like she actually.
I was wondering the second I saw that actress had been replaced, I was like. Fuck my life. I love that lady so much, man.
Yeah.
How they did it, though.
I was hoping that wasn't the case. I did not know that until now because I was hoping that maybe they would bring her back for part 4, the original, but I guess not.
There was definitely... they made up for the shitty things with cool things, which is why it's not a garbage movie. Like to pick it apart
Agent
over
Smith,
the...
come on.
To pick it apart over the dumb things would be to ignore the fucking killer action and some of the cool philosophical aspects of it that they added into it. Like
Smith's philosophy is like kind of just...
Dude, he's such a great villain, man. That's Elrond from Lord of the Rings, by the way. I don't know the actor's name, but he's
Hugo
awesome.
Reaving.
Love that guy. Yeah. Hugo Reaving, yeah.
Yeah, he's fucking great.
He also plays Megatron in the first Transformers.
it was definitely like the writers were definitely looking at it and just going like, okay, we got
their star was Hugo Weaving.
We need to put some kind of philosophical context to this because there's so much, like it lacked so much that, and the stuff they filled that with was filler. The whole movie's filler, but it's fun filler. Like so
the kung fu
filler.
Baby.
Yeah. They're like, well, it's all kind of goofy, so we're gonna have some killer action sequences, and then somebody went back and they were like, this is just vapid nothing. We need to add. So they put in some really cool philosophical stuff that they insert into it to set up the third movie. So
I mean,
it's gotten more shit than it deserves over the years by me.
It's so absurd at times. It is so absurd, man. I'm thinking in like the third movie, there was that big.
I'm almost certain that you're talking about 2 and 3. You're not talking about the
first one. The first one's awesome. But like in the third movie, man, when they come out of that elevator and there's that group of guys and there's all the guns behind them and they like jump onto the ceiling and start doing like the cartwheels and stuff. I mean, I want to go through at some point and I want to count all the expended bullets that didn't land in a human body. And I guarantee it would be in the tens of thousands, maybe if not more. And it's like, you are 10 to 15 feet from this person, and you are just unloading an infinite amount of ammo and straight at this person's fucking face.
Yeah.
And they're not doing the thing where they're dodging bullets. That's a different story. Like, that's fucking awesome. Yeah, if everybody could just dodge bullets at all times, like Smith or like the agents or like Neo, then that's one thing. But it is like... this doesn't fucking make any sense. Like, you can't just cartwheel 4 times across a room and have 4 people unloading machine guns into you and not get hit by one bullet. And I can't suspend disbelief that much, you know? And it annoys me about The Matrix. Yeah. And some of the theatrics are, that's too much for me. I'm also, I'll be honest, I'm not a huge kung fu, like, I like real kung fu, not like with the theatrics where people are floating through the air and like, you know, it just becomes too much. It's hard for me to suspend disbelief. Yeah.
So you really like Seraph.
Yeah.
Seraph was, do you remember you telling me like
this? I liked him. Yeah, he was cool.
You don't truly know somebody until you fight them.
Yeah.
I'm like, well fuck. Jeez. Well, how'd you think about the actual ending of the movie? Do you think it wrapped it up?
Yeah, pairing up the Oracle with the, I guess it's a...
it's been out for 20 years.
The Oracle and the Architect having a conversation like on that bench. I was like, fuck yeah, dude. That's
what do you think
so
I am?
Awesome.
Human?
Yeah.
Like, what? What did you just say?
That was cool, for sure. Yeah.
Just every time I watch that movie, it's one of those, I always learn something new because I feel like I think it's a sophisticated film, but you guys are all right that it probably is more hubris than, you know, actual intellectual. But
It's very pseudo-intellectual pretending to be intellectual.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, the whole architect scene, it was like, concordantly, vis-a-vis type shit. It's just... I couldn't hold it. I'm sorry.
It's like when I was in a philosophy class in college, and they brought up the idea of like, what if you're dreaming right now, and you're actually awake in your dream? And there was a person in class who was like, legit, like blown away by that concept. And this is an adult in college. Like, they had never
had that thought before.
And so, like, those are the people that watch The Matrix and go like. I mean, it's different when you're a kid and you're watching it because you're probably experiencing those concepts for the first time. But there was like full-on adults being like, "The Matrix is fucking next level." Like,
I live in a simulation.
Yeah, and you're like, it's pretty basic philosophy stuff, but it's fun. It's fun and it's smart and it's interesting.
I mean, I'm not trying to get into it, but Agent Smith was the big constant in the film. It's just like in those Star Wars trilogies that the villain was the most constant out of all of them.
Yeah.
And that's I think that's
setup.
When you have your villain that is never changing, I think that just like, and you have your heroes constantly trying to mold themselves into trying to beat this constant antagonist. And mm-hmm. he's just like, I am a fucking brick wall. I'm not moving. I'm not changing the way I feel about things. You're going to have to do things to make me move or
That's
break me.
That's what I hated about the fucking second Star Wars of the new trilogy. It's like they show Snoke on the screen and he's like, oh, this is
he's like
guy.
The good guy now.
And then they cut him in half and it's fucking like one scene that he's in. I'm like, what a waste.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Yeah. But that's not, but that's the same thing going back to The Matrix. It's Smith, like Smith is just like, when he came back, I was like, what?
He evolves as a character too. And he's a program. Like, you think he's just in the beginning, he's just going to be a mindless drone. He's just set on a path of destruction, stopping them, whatever. But like, he evolves and actually like finds a way to trick himself into the real world and inhabit another man's body. His character, you feel him going through the changes and it becomes more personal.
Yeah.
Like,
he didn't want to exist anymore.
Yeah. Like, and he fucking hates it. He's like, it's the smell. Like, he hates the smell of I don't know.
The sweat.
Yeah.
It's just somehow infected by it.
Jesus. Disgusted by everything.
Yeah. When he's like, I was supposed to be deleted, but I didn't. I couldn't.
And his genuine shock when certain things, new things happen. Yeah. Neo establishes another potential, like something, he excels to a new level or whatever, and he's taken aback by it. Like, it's just interesting watching the growth and the changes in his perception. Agent Smith. And the CGI was better than I thought it was going to be, too.
Yeah.
I really thought it was just going to be all shitty CGI.
Oh.
Well, especially after coming
all
off
shitty.
Of two.
No, a lot of it holds up. Not all of it. I mean, there's a couple shitty moments, but overall, I'm looking at it, I'm like, this fucking holds up.
Three compared to two is like a world of difference.
Yeah, the whole road sequence where they're on top of the truck and they're on sequence, I feel like Christopher Nolan had to have been inspired by that.
I love that part, too. That's probably my favorite part.
Looks good. It all looks really good.
That's what I told
him. Except for when he flies away with them holding them by their coats. It looks
anytime he's flying, it looks dumb. I don't ever want to see Keanu Reeves with sunglasses on and a fucking cloak
leather
flying.
It looks like Independence Day. It looks like Independence Day when they jump between the buildings while the fireball's coming and the dog like jumps into the
it's like, all right, Keanu Reeves, for the first time ever in your career, you've like kind of tricked us into thinking you're a legitimate actor and now you fucked it up.
And now you got little bendy legs with flying through the air.
Okay. All right. I think we've done it.
Yeah, we've done it.
Oh, God. But I don't think anything has been changed. I think all of our, it was just good to talk about trilogy movies because I've never talked about it. And I've always, and especially just give myself a reason to talk about The Matrix or something like that. Sorry. Sorry, viewers, listeners, everybody, that I just wanted to talk about The Matrix at the end. But if you made it this far... If you've made it this far, click like, click subscribe. We're on Apple Podcast, whatever you're listening to on right now. Subscribe, leave a review, do what you got to do. And we're going to start plugging in some shit right now. First things first, we're coming to Spooky Empire. I'm not going to tell you exactly what we're going to be doing there, except that we're just going to talk movies. But we got special things. I know I've given it away. If you've already listened to a past couple episodes, you know exactly what we're giving away. But I'm not going to spoil it until, what is it, September 1st? Whenever September 1st is, you'll find out. So, which is in, what, 3 days?
Yeah. So by the time this episode drops.
By the time this episode drops, I guess I'll just tell you. No, I won't.
No,
you,
don't do it.
Nope. Follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram. You'll find out exactly what I'm talking about. We got a new, I will tell you that we have a new line of t-shirts coming out. We got a lot of giveaways that happen. Spooky Empire in Orlando, October 22nd through the 24th. We'll be there. Ragged Cadavers will be there.
You.
Zach Bennett, the comedian, will be there. And Shane will be there, too. No.
Shane, the guy that makes all of this listenable.
Shane is an average Joe through and through. You know, he is the heart and soul of the Average Joe Movie Show because there wouldn't be a show without him.
He is the circadian rhythm.
He's the sleep of it.
What?
Isn't that what that means?
No.
Sleep? Isn't that the sleep schedule?
It's your sleep schedule.
Is it?
Shut the fuck up, Zach. I can say it again.
Is
it? Okay. It's exactly what it is.
All right. Well, whatever. Fuck off.
Huh. I guess he's just chopped. You just told him to fuck off.
No, it's how I told you. If you felt like we didn't cover your favorite trilogy, I'm really sorry about that. You were like, oh, American Pie, that's my jam.
It's not a trilogy.
Shut up.
It's five movies.
Well, that's
There's
a problem.
There's four canon movies.
Hey, that's a problem, too. But if you felt like we didn't cover yours,
if you're
thing
like,
oh,
Land Before Time.
Yeah. If you felt like the 13 Land Before Time films weren't properly covered.
You didn't talk about Mighty Ducks. You didn't talk about Free Willy. Yep, yep. You didn't talk about
fucking Saw trilogy, dude.
Private message Matt and tell him how you feel about it.
Yeah, it's okay.
If we didn't talk about your trilogy, then your trilogy sucks.
Yeah, there's a good reason why we didn't.
Or we forgot and get over it. Drew, you got some you got a new pen coming out, right?
Yep, it's going to be from Creepshow 1982, based on the crate segment. If anybody wants to check it out, like I said, on Instagram, ragged_cadavers, I've been promoting it. They're being shipped to me now. I'm hoping to release late next week.
Hell yeah.
But that's pending. And then after that, I have an October-themed, Halloween-themed horror movie pin planned that I think is going to be pretty popular. I think everybody's going to want to check it out.
And there's already some stuff up on the Instagram, so if you check that out now, you can see what it looks like, and you'll be able to order it probably by next weekend.
Yeah,
at the latest.
Yeah, even on my story, I posted a picture from the manufacturer of the pin itself. I'll post that picture so you know the pin came out immaculate. It looks exactly like the original drawing. So if you like that, you'll like the pin. It's good. They turned out beautifully.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I liked what I saw. It was fucking dope. So.
Yeah.
I got, this is the best at the end. We got to post all this stuff and link it up. Yeah, I got some dates coming up. So if you are in, let me see, this one's too soon, so I'll do next month. September 10th, I'll be in Melbourne. I'll be at,
plug your shows, dude.
Ooh, didn't write it down. Anyway, I'll be in Melbourne at a record store. I'll put the
fucking
links out there.
Captain Ed.
Actually, yeah, I thought I had it written
down.
Can't
remember the date. It sounds pretty Mickey Mouse.
Yeah. I'm glad you guys made it to the end and not know where Zach's playing.
And then right after Spooky Empire, I'll be at Flamingo in Jacksonville hanging out with our buddy Reagan, who works there.
Reagan Smythe?
Yep.
Shout out to Reagan Smythe.
Yep, shout out Reagan, dude.
You gave me a dollar every day that I asked for. He gave me a dollar every day. I stole hundreds and hundreds of dollars from him.
Wrong.
I only gave you like a quarter or something like that.
And I would buy a cookie every time.
Yeah,
Reagan Smythe, you are
the only dollar giver.
Yeah,
in the high school cafeteria
every day. Awesome. I think I probably took a lot of his lunch money, which was But he is a great friend and introduced me to Streetlight Manifesto. So he will be forever remembered. I mean, he's still alive. So.
But yeah, Reagan's cool as fuck. If you live in Jacksonville and you haven't been to Flamingo, check it out. Flamingo Bar down there is a super awesome place. But I'll be headlining there October 28th with a bunch of really awesome comics. And that'll be the week after Spooky.
Hell yeah. Shane, you got anything you want to promote? You want to promote yourself as a producer? Because, you know, if you need anything recorded... talk to our friend Shane Scantling. What's your IG, bro?
I don't know. I change it like every week.
Yeah,
direct message.
Changes it constantly.
Direct message the Average Joe Movie Show, and I will lead you in the right path. Okay.
Yeah. Say, who's that dude that does the cool stuff?
But if you, if you think that this show sounds so amazing, so good, it's just because of my voice in Shane's game.
I do the best I can
with my Buck T's voice. So, well,
it's not easy.
It is not. That's okay. Well, that's it for the show, everybody. We're taking off next couple weeks. We're going to be starting our horror collection of sorts. I have yet to decide what we're going to do. Maybe we'll converge after the show and we'll find out. But we're going to start doing some spooky stuff. Okay. Because I pander to you all September and October. So it'll be great. But we're not going to talk about Nightmare Before Christmas or fucking Halloween. So fuck off.
Oh, there it is. Beachside Retro and Records in Melbourne.
Okay.
Beachside Retro and Records.
Yeah, go, Melbourne. Yeah, go see Zach. His
September 10th. Thanks.
Yeah, go see him. It's time to say goodbye. It is time to say goodbye. Zach, say it first.
Goodbye.
Good job, Drew.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody. Ragged Cadavers, go see him.
Bye, everybody.
On Instagram. All right. Bye, guys. See you.